This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday as we welcome you in to Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Mitch and Paul out for two more days. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel here in the meantime, holding down the fort at Circa Las Vegas as per usual. And it is a busy day, not only on the show for everything that we have news and sports wise, but also for you here on property. You got something you have to do after the show later.
Yeah, I will be part of a panel for the, Winter FSGA Conference, Fantasy Owie. Sports Gaming Association. I don't know what the A stands for. But yes, there's a VSiN panel going on later today that I will be moderating. So
how do you feel about it? Are you nervous? You anxious? What's the vibe?
Nah, I mean, I think I'm a pretty, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, gregarious? I mean, I can talk. I can vent my way through some segments.
You are paid to speak. That is how you make your money.
Yeah, you know, so I feel pretty good. Now, you know, if I'm not here tomorrow, probably means I got fired and I was terrible. So let's see what happens. But I feel okay right now.
I'm happy for you. Speaking of that, like one of many things that's going on here at Circa, we will have owner and CEO of the property, Derek Stevens, join the show a little bit later on. A couple of great guests on deck. Chris Jimenez, former MLB catcher, MLB Network Radio. I'm very excited to have him on, especially with the news that dropped today about the MLBPA and their executive director stepping down. We got more information about what that was. About 20 minutes ago or so.
Oh, yeah. A little scandalous here.
A little bit. But initially, what we all thought it was is an investigation that's been going on for the last, year and a half plus into the finances. But apparently, it goes a little bit deeper with something personal. So we'll discuss that, as well as continue our MLB preview series. Today, we are on the St. Louis Cardinals. And Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com is going to stop by as well, talk through not only the expectations as the Olympic Games roll on. Obviously, we've got the women's gold medal game coming up on Thursday, where almost set here with the quarterfinals as well on the men's side. So we'll get to all of that, as well as a look ahead to the NHL season. As we are at this break, it's a good time to kind of take a look at the futures, where things look moving forward, and dive in there. And we actually are going to start here real quickly, JVT, with the hockey, because Sweden and Latvia are going head to head as we speak. I believe we're still in the first intermission, so my thing hasn't updated yet to say that the second period has begun. Sweden currently up 2-0 right now. They were laying 2.5 on the puck line, -162 to be that right side. The total 5.5. It was really, really juiced to the over at -155. You could get a flat 6 also, depending on which way you played it. But those two goals, Adrian Kempe, Gabe Landeskog, or as he has been putting it, did you see these pronunciation guide things around the Olympics? I love it. If you haven't seen it, look some of these videos up, because around the Olympics, they have the players pronounce their names and it's like a recording for themselves. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Landeskog, specifically Sweden, he says it all like Gabriel Landeskog is how he says it in like the native tongue way. And there are a lot of American athletes or athletes from other countries that have a very basic name, like a Colton Smith, for example. And they're like Colton Smythe, just like messing with people. In my line of work, those actually are super important when I'm doing a college football game or a basketball game. It's so helpful when you have the athlete actually pronounce their name, their own proper way. And so when people are doing it like that, it's, come on, man. But they're probably just like, you should know it's Colton Smith, right?
That one I think would be relatively easy. Who knows? But English is a very dominant language throughout our country here. So this one, you didn't have anything in this, correct?
No, I didn't, because I wanted, this was kind of a feel out game for me on Sweden, since the expectation is this is who Team USA is going to get in the quarterfinals. And I really wanted to see what version of Sweden was going to show up. And it looks like, at least, like they're playing really well to this point. They have built on a bit of the momentum we saw in that third game from them against Slovakia, where they didn't win by enough because of the goal differential to win the group, but they won that game against Slovakia. It seemed like they were getting to their game better. It seemed like from a coaching standpoint, deploying their players a little bit better as well. So they are trending in the right direction, which could be a scary thought for Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well. Also, I mean, Latvia's goaltending, not really great. Two goals on 10 shot attempts at this point right now. So can't really feel good if you're Latvia here. as you move forward into the second period. Got to get a little bit better in terms of turning those away. And I just don't know if you're going to get the shots either. I mean, you only got 6 shots on goal so far for the first period.
Yes. So we'll keep tabs on this as we go. And we are officially underway now here in the second period. Also overnight, Germany beat France 5-1, easily covered the 2.5 that we laid on the puck line yesterday. So they'll advance to face Slovakia tomorrow for a spot in the semis. That was all Germany from puck drop. Leon Draisaitl had a power play less than 4 minutes in.
He wake up to watch?
No, I did not. Mm. I told you I wasn't going to. Don't make me feel bad about it. Is it 3 o'clock in the morning our time?
It's my bad.
Absolutely not.
Except at 3:30.
Yeah, but that's because you're weird and don't sleep anyways. That's just what you do.
There we go. See, everybody was up. Everybody was awake.
Okay. Yeah, right. Germany.
Come on now.
3-0 in the first period for them. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare did score once in the second period for the French, but Germany responded with power play goal in the third, empty net goal, so they extend. They end up covering the number against Slovakia. Germany -118 favorite there. Slovakia -102. Goal total 5.5. Switzerland also beat Italy, and this was a tough one for us. Did you see any of this? You were up, so you must have been watching then, right? If you're going to give me grief for not watching and not being awake, then you should at least get some grief for having bet this game and not and been awake for it and not watched it.
Stormy, we were pumping and grinding in the gym. All right, we were working, so
you can't multitask. You have a phone.
We got things to do here. You got to focus on what's going on. All right, clanging and banging takes focus. It takes effort. Okay, I have one goal here.
Well, did you at least go through the like game cast and see how it transpired?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of it on the phone. That's about it.
The fact that you're not saying anything about the game is my answer.
No, okay. You want to know what I know? I know that Switzerland didn't get it done. That's all I know. Okay. All I know is that I laid 3.5 on the puck line expecting that the Swiss here are going to be able to get it done against an Italian team who is awful. And again, these Italians, 51 shot attempts. And he turns away 48 of them. How are you going to keep doing this?
So this is what I was going to say. 51 shots on goal. Switzerland scores, by the way, 1:19 into the game. They go up 2-0 midway through the first.
Yep.
And we only get one more goal the rest of the way.
On 51 shots.
Sickening for those of us that laid the 3.5. Sickening.
Is Clara the one that has the only NHL affiliation?
Yeah.
Claire's is he the greatest goaltender of all time? Is he not going to get called up after this? I mean, seriously, this production that we have seen between
Anaheim
the pipes.
Anaheim needs you.
Yes, for the Italians. I mean, what's going on here that we have seen? And for the women, too.
Yeah.
They've just been assaulted with rubber pucks for this entire Olympic
game.
They're
just fighting for country.
Yes, and they're just turning away everything that's going in their direction. That was insanity.
Yeah.
So, yes, Stormy, I did pay attention. I was trying to contain my rage.
I don't believe you.
What do you mean? I was watching. At least the box score.
I was like, you pulled it up just now and just looked at they had 51 shots on goal.
No.
Czechia also beats Denmark 3-2. Denmark covers the puck line +1.5, +110. It was a scoreless first period. So this was another one of those games, though, that and I've brought this game up multiple times. You bring up the Italians versus Team USA. That the slow starting second period, we see a crazy amount of goals. And then third period, we get nothing. That was exactly what we got in that game once again. Scoreless first period, 5 combined goals in the second, nothing after that. So 3-2 ultimately there. And Czechia now advances to play Canada, where my medal play goes to die for the Czech Republic. I had them at 4-1, but I think they're just going to get walloped in this spot, which is fine as well, because I have Canada futures. They're laying 3.5 +115 in that spot, -140 on Czechia, plus the goals, goal total 6.5. We'll get to plenty more hockey throughout the course of the day, as we should, because it's really, really going to be fun over the course of the next handful of days. But it was also a really, really big night in college basketball. JVT, 3 nationally ranked teams in action, including, of course, the game of the night, Houston and Iowa State, which absolutely delivered, especially late in this one. Iowa State wins and covers the 2.5, falls right on the number 2, 70-67, over 135.5. But for Houston defenses, as good as they are, you let the Cyclones go on a 17-4 run late, and the back and forth, not being able to get multiple opportunities in the final minute to either tie or win this game, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, they couldn't. It was disappointing. I mean, Houston looked like, as you're referencing here, maybe was going to run away with it themselves. And then at one point, you allow that run to happen. Not the catalyst of the run, but very late in the game, the kicked ball that was very clearly tipped by a defender's hand. Ultimately, Iowa State comes down, hits a pretty big three that kind of sparks everything for them as they move forward. Not that, of course, that was the reason for Houston, but it's a really big win for Iowa State. I mean, they didn't really force the turnovers you wanted. We talked about that. Houston does have good ball handlers, so how is that going to look? Well, they only turned the ball over 7 times, and 5 of those were for 2 guys on the roster, so really took care of it for the most part. Shot the ball relatively well, were 12 of 34. Kingston Flemings, who was great in this game, 9 of 15 from the floor, before 6 from 3-point range, was tremendous. But for Iowa State, man, that was a team effort. 3 scorers in double figures. They were very solid in terms of their percentage from beyond the arc, 9 of 22, and you get it done here at home in a nice little comeback win. Got to feel good about it. And in the race for the 1 seed, I brought this up with Adam Burke on Pod to the Futures today, which will be just dropped right now. UConn's got to be sitting back feeling pretty good because Houston takes a loss, and now UConn maybe can finagle their way into being a number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. So that dynamic's going to be pretty fascinating. So this would have been a very good pelt for Houston to hang on the wall, if you will, for that quest for a 1 seed.
Yeah, I do want to talk about this game a little bit more, too, because the Big 12 odds have moved as well with this result. But you mentioned Kingston Flemings and what a great day he had. And it's true, 22-5-4 in the loss. But he trips driving to the basket in the final seconds of this game, still able to get the ball over to Chris Sinak, but then he misses a floater. There's a foul on that play that then, and we'll detail this all a little bit more when we get to Win Some, Lose Some a little bit later, but the opportunities that Houston had, I keep coming back to them over and over again. And maybe on the other side of this break, we can play the sound from Kelvin Sampson afterwards, because some nights there are games that break your way, some nights there are not, and where they put themselves in a position and could have won and didn't. They've got to be kicking themselves this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially the magnitude of this game, like you mentioned, what it means in the conference. As we mentioned, what it means for the NCAA tournament and your seeding as well. So this is an opportunity missed for the Houston Cougars against obviously a beatable opponent because you had an opportunity to get it done. But a big win for obviously for Iowa State.
The eventual game-winning 3 from the corner with the shot clock winding down for Iowa State, Nate Heisey, his sister on Team USA, also scored a goal yesterday in the game that ultimately cements Team USA to now play for the gold. What a day for the freaking Heisey family.
Very good.
Just, like, unbelievable. Nate and Taylor, good on you. Okay, we got to step aside here on Follow the Money. We are just getting started. Like I said, though, plenty more college basketball after this. Hearing from Kelvin Sampson, the Big 12 updated odds, and we've got a massive top 25 game in the Big 10 on deck tonight as well. Don't go anywhere.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, back here on Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. We mentioned before the break, big win and cover for Iowa State yesterday against Houston. Number 6 beats number 2, 70-67. The final score in that one. And I did want to at least hear from Kelvin Sampson here quickly on some of those breaks not necessarily going their way and how they now have to move forward.
You know, we've been in this situation a lot on the road. And sometimes the breaks go in your favor. The nights we win this game, we made the 1-1 and they missed the 3. Tonight it was flipped. We missed the 1-1 and they made the 3. Sometimes it's simple as that. But, you know, we have a ton of respect for TJ and this program, this fan base. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but anytime you get Hilton Coliseum on TV, that's usually pretty good for the Big 12. And I was proud of our kids' effort tonight. So we'll lick our wounds on this one and go home and get ready for another big one on Saturday.
It's a strong point here because you look at the opportunities and look, we nitpick these really good teams. Houston is 23-3, so we should point that out. But the last two losses for them, one of which you witnessed, was on the road. You talk about the Iowa State game, the Texas Tech game against Texas Tech. They were up by four, but they got outscored by about 8 points in the final 9 minutes or so. They let go of a lead there. They actually had a pretty decent lead to begin, couldn't really hold on against the Red Raiders. And then you get this game where, again, you're on the road against Iowa State. You have an opportunity to win it. You're up big early. You can't really hold on to it. And then all the missed opportunities that you've talked about. Look, whether or not they get the one seed is going to be a question, but if they lose out of the Big 12, that's obviously going to come back and look at, hey, man, these are the times in which we have struggled, and it's going to be looking at you right in the face some of the ways that these road games have gone down. And the third loss, too, we should just point out, and Tennessee on a neutral. So out of this team who is very, very good, shortcomings have come away from home at this point for Houston, and maybe that's something to note. I think they're good in the big picture, but can't help but feel there for Sampson, because I think he's right. A lot of missed opportunities for this team, and they have come on the road the last two losses.
With the Big 12 now, they go from a minus 160 odds on number to getting plus money. It's only plus 110, but we have seen a shift now. Could that be an opportunity to either A, get plus money on Houston, or as you look at an Arizona team that just lost one of its best players and an Iowa State team that seems to be surging and has played as well as they have at home, they are perfect at home and even covered, I think, five of their last six or four of their last five, whatever it is. The schedule remaining for Houston, they have a big one against Arizona coming up on Saturday, at Kansas Monday. Things do ease up after that, Colorado, Baylor, and then at Oklahoma State to close out the season. Iowa State, meanwhile, back-to-back wins now against high-caliber opponents in Kansas and Houston, at a BYU team that's also limping, lost one of their key players on Saturday. Utah, Texas Tech, and Arizona still the tough ones on their schedule before they close the season at ASU. Are you attracted by any of that? Houston plus 110, Iowa State 6-1 right now.
It's hard to still not be attracted by Houston, isn't it?
I think so, too.
Because the next two games are going to be pretty tough, like you mentioned, but you get Arizona at home, at Kansas. I mean, we make the easy joke? Is Darren Peterson even going to play? I think he is. But like the whole point here being is once you get those big boys out of the way, like you mentioned, Colorado, Baylor, and Oklahoma State are teams that you should, if you are a three-loss team competing for a one seed, that you should be able to take advantage of and win. So if you feel like they could get it done against Arizona at home, if you're of that mindset, then I think you're in a pretty good position here, if you're Houston, to get back on the horse, grab a win here, and move on. And look, they kind of faced not a tough situation, but I think a relatively challenging one. After they lost in Lubbock, where you were at, they had to go to TCU. We saw TCU beat Iowa State at home and took care of business 79-70. So we know they can bounce back from these losses. Again, there's only three of them. And I would expect that at home against an Arizona team that might be shorthanded, we'll find out. That's going to be something that I think that they can get back on and then potentially win going forward.
Also, last night we were questioning, could this be potentially a look-ahead spot for the Duke Blue Devils?
Ooh.
Apparently not. They dominate Syracuse. Easy win and cover for them, covering the 20.5 number. Soars over the 145.5 as well. They put up a 101. What was their final score? 101 themselves, 101-64, the final. Yeah, exactly. They looked prime, though, for a weekend non-conference showdown that they have coming up against top-ranked Michigan. Shot 62.3% from the field, 12 for 20 from three, 9 of 12 in the second half from range. They closed the first half on an 11-0 run, took a 16-point lead at the break, proceed to then make 13 of their first 14 in the second half, scored more than 100 points for the first time since November. So they look to be trending up. A Michigan team, by the way, that has a huge game today against Purdue. But big picture coming out of this, how do you view Duke?
I mean, I think you view them as you did before. I don't know. Syracuse is not particularly great. Yeah. I know we talked yesterday about, hey, you know, if you win, maybe you can thrust yourself into a bubble. Yeah, you're fighting to get into the bubble conversation. It's not like you're fighting to get out of the bubble and into the NCAA tournament. So this was a pretty short, not shorthand, excuse me, a very limited Syracuse team in terms of the talent and what they have. So I don't think this is a shock that Duke would be able to put on a massive performance and move on here. I think you mentioned it, the look-ahead aspect, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and clearly Duke was not looking ahead. Conference play at this point, not more important than facing Michigan, but it has its value, especially when you're talking about the ACC and winning that thing. So I think that Duke is very much focused on all these opponents. I think all these teams are. I mean, again, you're fighting for one of these one seeds, and any slip-up could matter because you do have quite a bit of competition at the top for one of these top seeds in the NCAA tournament. So this is, I think, a Duke team that's pretty talented, obviously centered around Cam Boozer, who today, I don't know if you saw this, somebody on ESPN made the comp for Paolo Banchero, which I don't really see from a game standpoint. That's just me. But either way, Duke's going to be, I think, pretty focused, even against some of these lowly opponents. Number was 20.5, but obviously no problem.
He drops 22, was 8 of 10 from the floor, 12 rebounds, 8th 20-point double-double of the year. He's out to minus 2,000 to be the Wooden Award Player of the Year this season. Something I did see on ESPN, though, that I thought was interesting, with Cooper Flagg in the house in particular, his numbers statistically are actually better than where Cooper Flagg's were last year. So, he has to do so much more, though, I would say, for this roster, which is the key for Boozer.
That's actually, you know what? I'm going to look this up. That's an interesting. I want to see what their usage rates were in comparison to each other. Because
you have an NBA roster compared to what you have now.
Yeah. I would think that they are somewhat different here, but no, actually, they're on par with each other. Cam Boozer, from a usage standpoint, percentage of shots is higher, but possessions, pretty much on brand, actually equal to one another almost. Cam Boozer,
surprises
me. 30.2 for Cam Boozer and a 30.8 for Cooper Flagg.
All of this to say, in the ACC, we do have a little bit of intrigue, at least. There are five teams all within a loss of each other fighting for that double bye in the ACC tournament. A few of those teams are actually squaring off later tonight. NC State hosting North Carolina, Louisville at SMU. So games with some big implications over the next couple weeks. Real quickly, though, I do want to at least hit on what is very clearly the game of the night. We go from, you know, one game of the night to another.
It is great.
Top-ranked Michigan at Purdue, number 7th-ranked team in the country, massive game in the Big Ten. Any early thoughts here?
Looking at this, it's going to be, Purdue has bounced back nicely since their three-game swoon. Maryland, Oregon, Nebraska, Iowa beat the tar out of Iowa over the weekend, and that was a thought that maybe, talking to some bookmakers, there were some sharps grabbing Iowa over the weekend, and that did not come to fruition. So a really good way to bounce back here. I lean a little bit here toward Purdue at home. You know, we've talked a little bit about Michigan and the fact that the market, ever since that non-conference stretch, has really steered into how good this team is, but it's really starting to show how good it is. Last time we saw them, absolutely pasting UCLA. So I think Purdue is deserving of a little bit more talent, a little bit more respect here at home against Michigan. I thought this would be a little bit closer to pick. So if you can get that +3, then I think that would be the way to go here with Purdue.
The total big move to the over. Yeah. And as I even say that, I see my DraftKings screen flash up from 157.5 to 158.5. This thing at open was 151.5. Yeah. So people are really thinking we're going to get points here.
Yeah, you wonder what tempo it's going to get played at. This is a style make fights type of deal. And one of these teams wants to really go. Michigan, a top 10 team in terms of tempo. Purdue, of course, not the case. They're a very slow team, ranking 293rd in tempo as well. Both teams will shoot the ball from beyond the arc with some frequency here. Purdue taking over 40% of their shots from beyond the arc, 42% for Michigan. But I do think this is really just all about tempo. And if the market's leaning in Michigan's direction, then, of course, you would think that they would be able to impose their will, which would mean speeding up Purdue a little bit here in a game like this.
Have you seen all of the Yaxel Lendenborg, stuff?
No, what is the stuff?
The trash talk from him.
No, I missed this.
It's like lots of F-bombs in it.
Okay.
But essentially, when we see Purdue, we going to spank. They bleepin' bleep. Okay. We're going to beat their bleepin' bleep. Bleep Purdue.
You know, that reminds me of when I was a child and I would curse because I had like a squeaky voice, and I wanted people to take me seriously. It's kind of somewhat reminiscent of that. You don't have this problem because, you're a woman. But when I would answer the phone as a young child, they'd be like, "Hi, little girl, is your parents home?" I'd be like, "I'm a boy," So like you have to drop F-bombs to really solidify your manliness.
So I actually had, I guess what would be my comp of a reversal of that, that I didn't grow hair on my head for years. So I was taken as a chubby boy for a very long time in my youth.
But there's no way you can remember those times.
Well, why would you tell me that, though? That's just hurtful. This is just the tip of the iceberg, by the way, in college basketball. We're going to go through what is an awesome card for today's slate. Do you approve this move as well? Talking about all of the line moves we're seeing in college hoops. Don't go anywhere. There's so much more still to come. We're going to hit on some Major League Baseball news next. In case you missed it, Executive Director Tony Clark of the MLBPA stepping down. Do it as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We're continuing our series of a different team each and every day in Major League Baseball, talking through some of the potential futures, angles, win totals, all of that. Today it is the St. Louis Cardinals, but appropriate that we're talking baseball because we got some massive news in MLB earlier today that MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark is stepping down. And JVT, when initial reports were surfacing on this handful of hours ago, earlier this morning, it appeared this had something to do with the ongoing federal investigation from the Eastern District of New York that has been looking into alleged misuse of finances and other dealings with the MLBPA. And then Jeff Passan from ESPN drops this bomb on X. MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark resigned after an internal investigation revealed he had an inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law, who had been hired by the union in 2023.
Not great.
Not great.
No, not great at all.
I did not have this on my bingo card.
No, not at all. And I mean, this all matters because, of course, looming here is a potential shutout as they work through the CBA for next year. And that's probably going to happen. Adam Burke, our own managing editor, he was on Pod of the Futures earlier today, seems very pessimistic about whether or not this is going to be a season. What's that?
Sorry. This is one of the comments, tweets.
Passan?
Said I didn't realize it was the Major League Baseball Players Association. Sorry. Go ahead.
Glad we sidetracked for that.
I just couldn't withhold my laughter. I apologize.
Either way, this looks like they're heading toward a shutout. And now, of course, you get this at the top. Yeah. With a vacuum of power. So not great for next season. And I mean, let's pray that we do get baseball because, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do during the summer, all summer long, outside of maybe following some combat sports and whatnot, if Major League Baseball is not in play? So that, I think, is the biggest deal, yeah. Especially in a betting stance. Look, this year, not impacted, but next year, what that means in terms of having a season, it's going to be a pretty big deal.
I'm really going to have to step up my soccer game, and I don't think I'm ready for that. So if we could keep it to baseball, that would be great. I can only do so much NFL futures.
I kind of want. Oh yeah, dude. Trust who you talking to. I was ready for that season to end so long ago.
Which, by the way, it is
the Super Bowl. Jump off a bridge.
The start of the franchise tag window today. So we'll talk some NFL in a little bit as well. But to keep it with this, apparently as well, the MLBPA was supposed to start their annual tour of spring training camps and go team to team. The Cleveland Guardians were supposed to be today. They very abruptly canceled that meeting in the start of their tour. So that steps back. And as you mentioned, we are, you know, less than a year out from the expiration of that CBA. And that is supposed to be a pretty lengthy negotiation process. And they are without their leader trying to figure out who can take over in the interim and obviously be the guy moving forward. So, and to think, though, that that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on with all of the other internal financial stuff that they've been dealing with, sure, and misappropriation of funds.
I mean, Major League Baseball's Player Association, I don't think you could throw them out there as one of the better ones. And so now this makes sense of what we're seeing here. And hopefully they clean it up. It's funny, the last calendar year saw a lot going on with the NFL Players Association. And now we're seeing this year with the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I mean, first Sherrone Moore, now this. Like, can't we just relax, guys? Just simmer down, all right? You don't have to do it. You don't have to. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I would agree.
Let's go to St. Louis, shall we? This is an interesting one. And again, as we've mentioned each day, we're starting from the bottom up, okay? So we're working our way up to some good teams. We will get there eventually. And this is an organization that has shifted its approach this offseason for the first time in a while with Chaim Bloom now taking over as the president of baseball ops. They moved a number of well-known guys, fan favorites. Their manager even said this morning, as kind of these full squad workouts finally get underway, that the quote, reality is we're stepping into a new chapter of Cardinals baseball. So what does that mean? Let's dive into it. Gone now, JVT, is Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, both to the Red Sox. Nolan Arenado with the Diamondbacks. Brendan Donovan with the Mariners. Yep. Closer Jojo Romero appears to be staying, so that is a positive. And they did land at least a handful of some solid pitching prospects with those trades. Signed Dusty May as well to bolster the starting rotation. All of that to say, this is another team, it looks like, that is going through a very serious rebuild. And in terms of what that looks like for their season as a whole, the numbers aren't good, and it's all very bottom of the barrel in the league.
Yeah, Pacoda projections, excuse me, have them winning about 66 games, which would obviously put them under this win total of 69.5. And it's hard not to. It's, you know, I asked Adam this question today on the pod, which again, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And it was, you know, how do you project teams that are relying on young talent, upside, development, things like that. This is going to be St. Louis at some point. I mean, when you talk about one of the big offseason questions for the year being, hey, when are our top prospects like J.J. Weatherholt going to get up here? What are they going to do? That is always a sign for, all right, maybe this is going to be a team that have some rough times in front of them. And I would expect that that's going to be the case. This is all a calculated effort to just try to retool everything at this point right now. Obviously, it doesn't include, as you mentioned, the big names, guys like Miles Michaelis, who they let go in free agency as well. So this seems to be a complete teardown and rebuild. I don't think there's really any question. I mean, they are the worst team in this division this year. And then the question just becomes, what can they achieve from a win total standpoint? 69.5, given the way they stripped down this roster, does seem a little high. I'd lean a little toward the under. I do think that there's probably a pretty rough season in store given the lack of talent. And when you get it up there, the youth of that talent when it finally arrives.
And I'll say, too, this number has come down. Was 71.5 a handful of places. So sitting at that 69.5 and could potentially continue to go down as we get closer to the actual start of the season. You mentioned that Pecota projection. Only Colorado projected to have fewer wins than them. Their percentage to make the playoffs, 0.5.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And then look at the division itself, too, right? I mean, you have, so obviously we have the Cubs, the Milwaukee Brewers, who are a very good organization, should be good again this year. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh potentially could push for like that upper 70s, 80 type win season. So this is going to be a division as well where they're just going to take their lumps outside of course, the ever-expanding, just the Major League Baseball itself and taking on some of the big boys throughout the year. So this is a team that is probably going to be there. When you look at some of the futures for them and what you want to bet on, it's hard to really gravitate toward anything else but under 69.5.
Would you have any interest in looking at that 28-1 to have the worst record? Could that be something that's in play? Is that like enough of a price for you to dive in?
Maybe. Are you going to outstrip Colorado? Because it's such a hard thing to ask because Colorado, I mean, we talked about them the other day.
Yeah, their win total's in the 50s.
Right, their win total's in the 50s. We did have, you know, look, they signed some veterans to the rotation. So, like, in theory, could Colorado really kind of show out maybe a little bit better on some of these road games when these pitchers don't have to pitch at home in that altitude? And then, of course, maybe you get a slightly better performance. I feel like the gap between them is so large that that's going to be a small issue. But it is interesting, and, you know, we talk about these Pecota projections. You can go check them out at Baseball Prospectus. Isn't it funny? You mentioned the win total. I talk about this all the time. This is always a really good example of it. The stretched out nature of win totals versus the more compact nature of projections. The win total for the Colorado Rockies is in the 50s. The projection for them is 61. So again, to that point of projections generally are a little bit more tight as opposed to spread out like you see win totals. And this is a good example of that here, but I digress. I think St. Louis is a team that they're doing the right thing in stripping down, but it's hard to, I would say, ask them to win 70 plus games this year.
I would agree. Also, at least on a positive note for the youth and development, the rebuild, whatever, you know, words you want to throw at it, they do seem really invested in that. And per a recent report from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Cardinals farm system is now rated number 2 from Baseball America, the highest it's been in 13 years. So maybe this is something that, okay, this is a down year, maybe next year is a down year, but you're building slowly more toward the future and what you ultimately want to be. I mentioned the 28-1 for the worst record. They are 14-1 to have the longest losing streak in MLB this season. Their longest losing streak of the season over under number for them specifically as a team set at 7.5. Their longest win streak set at 5.5. So these are clearly, again, just as we go through these numbers, low expectations for this team across the board. So if you do think that they can overachieve in some capacity, there's a lot of plus money angles to dive in from that standpoint. If you don't, I wonder, JVT, if you either bet a season win total under now or you just expect them to be trading off assets midway through the season too, and you can do some in-season stuff or fade them on a game-to-game basis if you think they're going to struggle.
No, I mean, I think there's nothing really much left to trade. It's going to be more about who's coming up and how are they going to play.
Well, I would say Romero is somebody that has been talked about a lot about being another, like, tradable asset. They have a couple of those that they could still move off of if they wanted.
I think Romero is the one, but I don't know if that's impactful enough to alter what a win total could potentially be for St. Louis. So we'll see if that's the case. And I think a good point for win totals as well, when you talk about betting unders, overs, you know, it's kind of like a car. Like, the second you drive it off the lot, it becomes devalued when you buy a brand new one. It's similar fashion here where you're betting these things under and there's a little bit more tact and value there because the only thing that can happen is these teams are going to get injured, hurt, whatever it is, lose some pieces.
You mentioned Adam Burke a couple of times, our managing editor here at VSiN, VSiN.com. He and Jensen Lewis, our closer here on the network, former MLB pitcher, did so much great work on our MLB betting guide. Today is the first day you can officially get it right now. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get it already automatically for free. You're also going to get everything that we do here at the network, the best bets, the AI prop projections, all of that, as well as the guide. You can also download the guide a la carte, which is something that we started doing recently. If you are someone who is just looking for that specific sport and you want that guide, you can do it as well. $19.99 right now. Get our MLB betting guide today, or again, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get the guide included. VSiN.com/guide is how you can get in there. Again, that's VSIN.com/guide. Win some, lose some. Coming up after this.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Pauly and Mitch still finishing up their vacation. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel holding it down in the meantime. Time for a little bit of Win Some here, JVT. Starting in college hoops, Iowa State bet out from 1.5 to 2.5 point favorites against Houston. They win and cover 70-67. While it was a Win Some for the market, also a bad beat, which we will get to in just a little bit. The total, meanwhile, up from 133.5 to 135.5. Market had it right the whole time, despite this being two of the top six defenses in all of college basketball. This was an over all the way.
Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday, the plus three. I mean, you said, hey, kind of like that. We'll see where it goes. Ultimately, that mattered if you got it. At the very least, you got to push there. So good for Iowa State to get a big win. Big betting result as well. And like you said, we'll get to the drama of some of it as well later.
Duke Syracuse from 143 to 145.5 on the total. They go over the century mark themselves. 101-64 there. Never in doubt. Abilene Christian, Tarleton State from 136 down to 134. 65-62. The final in overtime, mind you.
Yes, that was an ugly, ugly game. I mean, don't you love college basketball? I miss a good, like, gritty 42-37 type final. Isn't it absolutely fantastic?
Speaking of 37, that's how many points that Stony Brook scored in the first meeting with Drexel. They got the redemption yesterday. Laying 2.5, they rallied a cover, 72-69 that final. They were up by as many as Drexel was up by as many as 11 in this one, but a couple scoring runs going out of the half, in and out of the half, another late in the second half, some clutch foul shots for Stony Brook, and they come back to get it done.
Yes, they do. This one was not on my radar. I apologize.
The total as well ended up being a win some here though too, up from 143 to 145.5. The hockey, which you were so dialed into this morning, or looked at the box score. Germany, right side from the jump. They cover the 2.5 on the puck line against France. First goal from Leon Draisaitl on the power play less than 4 minutes in. It was a 3-0 first period, and they just added to it in the third. 5-1, your final in that one. And then I don't know what came over me to put this in winsome when it should have been a bad beat, because it was just like, for us personally, Italy plus 3.5. It's a winsome because you get the plus money, and I'm happy for those of you that bet it. But for us personally, not ideal, especially considering like the dominance in shot share.
Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely hate what happened here. As I was watching this Italian goaltender turn away puck after puck, a ludicrous performance in net throughout the course of these Olympic Games. And I would expect, if this dude does not get a regular spot in goal for some team in the National Hockey League, what are we doing?
I'm with you. Let's go.
He's been incredible.
Yes. I mean, I wish I knew more about Italian, you know, hockey in general, but he's been the guy. He's been the dude. 51 shots on goal coming your way, and you put away most of them. Good,
I mean,
on you.
You don't have to learn about Italian hockey. You just learn about this guy. I mean, no, clearly, but there's not a depth of Italian history.
We talked about the women's goaltender, too, though.
That's
I'm like,
a good point.
Like, are they just breeding goalies and we didn't know about it? That said,
is there a lot of Italian goaltenders in the NHL?
Scored.
Really. Maybe it's a new thing.
Their first goal, 1:19 into the game. They go up 2-0 midway through the period. Think it's off to the races, especially with all the shots on goal. Only one more goal the rest of the way. So 3-0 shutout for them, which is also, I think, fair to say, win some if you have the under in this game, considering it all. Denmark also gets there on the puck line. Another plus money price, the plus 110 if you had it over Czechia. More on that game as well in a moment. Per Audience request, JVT.
Was it here?
We've got some dog videos. Shout out Mark Hoppel said, just one time, have JVT do the pet videos in Polly's voice. So this is all you.
All right, looks a little. See, you're going to put me on the spot. I can't do it all. Okay, good boy here. Okay, send Instagram videos. Polly does Vegas at Instagram. All right, look at this guy, huh? Coming in. Oh, look at him. Look at getting the toys. Look at it. You know, these dogs, look at it. Oh, right in the water. Right in the water. Absolutely fantastic. What a good boy. Does what he do that? Good. I don't know.
I think something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Look at what a good swimmer.
Yeah, fantastic.
That was really good. Some dogs are very tentative to the water. Not this guy.
Yes.
Best place in the world.
Absolutely tremendous. Loves it. Is very excited to get in there and get in the water. Absolutely phenomenal. And I love every second of this video.
I like that he jumps in first just to make sure he can get the feet wet a little bit.
Well, you know, when you get in the pool, you have to like get under, you get your shoulders in the water, get used to the temperature. That's what he did real quick.
Yeah, he does not believe in dipping the toe in. He is full go.
Absolutely.
Full send.
Absolutely.
All right, what's next?
All right, what do we got else? What else we got? Oh, this is a good one. All right. You got to teach your dogs to be self-sufficient here.
Get the voice going. What is
I can't.
This
I'm not in it. I'm not into it today. I can't do it. You can't just turn me up and get me going here. Oh, what a good boy. I don't know what he does. I haven't watched him for a while, okay? I'll admit, I haven't seen Win Some, Lose Some in a while. I haven't talked to Paul. The last time we spoke to
this
each other,
really
we were
cool,
yelling
though.
At each other.
So for our radio audience, there's a spatula on the ground, and the dog has been trained to put his paw on it and shoot up whatever the item is, like a dog treat or a... whatever the owner wants to do in that moment. And he catches him with his mouth like a pro.
Absolutely fantastic. Dogs are very smart. I've always wanted to get a dog and give them like the buttons that teach them like the voices, you know?
Yeah.
Teach them what they want.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Be like, I would like water, please.
Yeah, and the buttons just water. Water. Outside. Yes. Absolutely tremendous.
Do we have any more?
Oh, let's see. No, I don't think we do. That's
no more?
It. Just
okay.
Two.
Well, no, I'm not even going to give you a well done. You're kind of weak. Let's go to Lusum. Lusum, JVT's Polly Howard voice. No, you had high expectations because if you remember the first time we filled in, you just like
it was natural.
Ran
it was,
through it.
It was natural. It was off the cuff. You know, you can't just request these things.
Marshall in college hoops.
Dance, puppet.
Bet
no.
out from 5 to 6.5 against South Alabama. Just a 4-point win there. Back to the Abilene Christian game. They were getting 3.5 early. Bet all the way out to the favorites roll here at 1.5. They ultimately lose in overtime 65-62. On the women's hockey front, we were sweating this game out live on the air. Canada laying 4.5 against Switzerland, only win 2-1. Lose some as well on that team total. A lot of people thought Canada was going to blow Switzerland out. Obviously, they were driving offense the whole morning, yet couldn't get one through.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't watch that one either. I apologize.
Hey, you did. We were watching it live. You were sweating it out. You bet.
Oh,
you
that
laid
one
the
yesterday.
Goals
I'm sorry. I can't. You know what I can't keep together is the other teams. Switzerland, Sweden. That's always confusing to me. I'm sorry.
Wow. That is so racist.
I mean, okay. I don't know if it's that. They just sound very similar. I apologize. I know Sweden is the one with the blue and yellow flag, right? And Switzerland is the white cross. So I understand all of that. Just sometimes I get a little confused.
Be better. That's another Swiss goalie, though. Speaking of the Italian goaltending, she was a monster in that game. Stopped 44 of 46 shots that came her way. On to the bad beats. We said we would detail this a little bit more. Houston, +2.5, or if you had +135 on the money line at Iowa State, had a double-digit lead with 7 minutes to go. 1:17 left. They're only down two. Multiple opportunities to either tie this thing or win it. Emmanuel Sharp misses a three. They end up having a shot clock violation there. JoJo Tugler has a huge block and stop on the other side. They get the ball back. Your boy, Kingston Flemings, who had been awesome all day, dribble drive to the hoop, flings the ball over to Chris Sinak because he trips and falls in the lane. It was just like every opportunity they had didn't go their way. When Sinak misses, he fouled as well. So then you get a foul shot on the other side. And here's where we get into real bad beat territory when it comes to the spread of all this. Who goes to the line for Iowa State? Blake Buchanan, who's a terrible foul shooter, ends up 2 of 7 from the line for the day, and he misses. Houston, though, can't get the rebound. Iowa State does, and they're fouled again. The guy hits 1 of 2, and you lose the cover.
Yeah, the fouling, I mean, it always gets you at the end of some of these games, and you talk about the fouling. And this one,
but
at the very least.
You thought you got away with one with a real bad foul shooter out
right.
there.
I mean, it was exactly what you wanted, but to give up an offensive rebound on a free throw is absolutely brutal to lose a beat like, to lose a bet like that. And, you know, look, at least it was in that scenario. What drives you nuts at the end of these games is the, hey, team down 7, you're catching 7.5. And on a missed shot attempt with no time left, they foul with like 0.6 seconds left for absolutely no reason and dribble it out. Absolutely nuts. This at least made some sense, but it was brutal. You got everything you wanted and you couldn't get the rebound. That's all you needed.
And again, up double digits with 7 minutes to go in this one. You've got Houston +2.5. You're thinking, okay, well, they can at least get me that. Even if they don't win on the money line, they can at least cover 2.5.
Plus 20 and a half. Syracuse not on here for bad beats?
Was that a bad beat? They got torched.
That's a joke.
One last one here. And again, we could have put a handful of hockey ones in here. But as far as the total goes for Denmark and Czechia, over 6.5. Scoreless first period, but then we saw a combined 5 goals scored in the second period. 27 combined shots in the second period. You're like, okay, these guys are about to be off to the races. Fall so flat in the third. No more goals to be scored. 3-2, your final score there. So if you had the over, you're for a moment, you're like, all right, we're going to get there. If you took some live overs, all right, over 5.5, I'm ready. I got the discount. Unfortunately, that is not the case.
Seen a couple of these games here. Our wonderful game that we, USA and Italy, dead third period where you got a bunch of goals in the second and then just absolutely died.
Yeah,
a couple of these games.
That happened, I think, like at least 3 times for games that we have talked about where it was slow starts, just a slew of goals in the second period, and then that ended up being all that she wrote. Again, we have the Win Some, Lose Some presented by Sharp Plays. And this time of year, especially in college hoops, where real bettors find their edge, dozens of games a night, constant line movement, opportunity for those who know where to look. And we're talking about that. Tons of college basketball on the slate today. And you're not going to beat billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own. But with Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to insider sources, the Sharp Plays highlights sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, transparent results, all of it documented since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books, own the boards this college basketball season at SharpPlays.com. And we will get to that college basketball card further a little bit later on in the program, but when we come back, today is the start of the franchise tag window being open for a handful of teams. We also got some other interesting news for JVT's favorite squad. What's going on with Anthony Richardson and the Colts? We'll hit it all next on Follow the Money.